Before leaving Saudi Arabia for Kuwait today, Secretary of State Baker confirmed that the United States warned Iraq not to use chemical weapons against anti-government rebels. Intercepted Iraqi communications reportedly aroused suspicions that Iraq was toying with the idea.
We had reason to believe that they might be planning such activity, and we thought it was important that we let them know how we would view that.
Iraqi opposition leaders, some of whom say gas has already been used, will meet in Beirut next week to form a government in exile and a military field command to fight troops loyal to Saddam Hussein. Amid reports of growing unrest in the ranks, Iraq is breaking up five more divisions formed after Kuwait was invaded and dismissing reservists and non-commissioned army officers who'd been recalled for the war. Kuwaitis may have Saddam Hussein to thank if their country institutes democratic rule. CBS News correspondent Bill Plant, traveling with Secretary of State Baker, reports on what could be the supreme irony of the Gulf War.
The exiled Emir of Kuwait, who is still in Saudi Arabia, told reporters today that he has absolutely agreed to democratize his country when he returns. The Emir, meeting with Secretary of State James Baker, said that he had remained in Saudi Arabia instead of going back to his country for what he called private reasons and would not elaborate. But he did tell reporters in his photo opportunity with the secretary that, according to the Constitution, he will walk the path of democratization. He also answered a question which is very difficult in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, that of women and the vote. Asked if women might conceivably get the vote in a democratized Kuwait, the Emir responded that it is not in the Constitution, but there is always a possibility to think about that sometime in the future. The Emir said that he had written a long letter to his friend George Bush, thanking the president for the role the United States played in liberating Kuwait. Bill Plant, CBS News, Taif, Saudi Arabia.
About 100 women staged a demonstration today in Kuwait City demanding the return of Kuwaiti men still missing from the war. Bill Gasparini was there.
The protesters held up posters saying, "Where are our missing loved ones?" and "Free the hostages." Yesterday, Iraq did release 1,200 Kuwaitis held prisoner, and the government says they are part of about 7,000 Kuwaitis taken captive. But the protesters say as many as 33,000 people are still missing, and they want the government to do more to find them. As this woman explains, there's also strong resentment towards cabinet ministers who fled the country when Iraq invaded.
They were out Kuwait, and they came back before 5 days, and they don't know anything about this country.
The issue of missing prisoners is a reflection of larger opposition demands for democratic reforms in Kuwait. There's growing pressure for the government to reinstate the parliament dismissed by the Emir in 1986 and to hold elections for a new parliament. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Kuwait City.
Palestinian leaders have had a change of heart about a meeting with Secretary of State Baker. Robert Berger reports from Jerusalem.
Palestinians in the occupied territories have agreed to meet with Baker when he arrives here next week. They had originally decided against the meeting because of anti-American sentiment among the local population. The turning point was President Bush's speech this week calling for territorial compromise and recognition of Palestinian rights. West Bank activist Saeed Kanaan says Palestinians are confident now about American intentions.
Now they are determined to avoid the double standard policy and implement the United Nations resolutions which call for the end of the Israeli occupation of our territories.
Kanaan says the Palestinians will tell Baker that there can be no peace process without the PLO. Robert Berger for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Americans who served in the Gulf are coming home nonstop now. As Angie Hanshaw of CBS television affiliate WTKR reports from Norfolk, Virginia, even the early hour of summer arrivals can't take the edge off the celebrations.
It was a hero's welcome for the nearly 200 members of the Navy's Fleet Hospital 5. They arrived early this morning at the Norfolk Naval Air Station. All of them, including this woman, are glad to be home.
It's really wonderful to see everybody with those balloons and the flags and everything, the signs, and see my friends again, and, you know, I haven't seen them in 6 months.
The rest of the fleet's 750 service members will return over the next 3 weeks. Angie Hanshaw for CBS News, Norfolk.
Defense Secretary Cheney and General Powell will be on hand to greet 21 former POWs when they touch down tomorrow at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington. The government is closing an expensive chapter in the Lincoln savings and loan collapse. Carl Brown of CBS radio station KNX has the story.
The final tap to taxpayers to bail out Irvine, California. California base, Lincoln Savings and Loan, will be $2.5 billion. Great Western Bank of Beverly Hills, the nation's second largest thrift, bought the rights to Lincoln's 28 branches for only $12 million. The Resolution Trust Company, which has been running Lincoln since 1989, will pay Great Western more than $2 billion to cover Lincoln's bad debts. RTC has already paid out $1.9 billion to depositors. Charles Keating, Lincoln's former head, is facing a $1 billion plus civil fraud suit from federal regulators who hope to recover some of the other costs by selling off Lincoln's assets, including a posh golf course and a spa near Scottsdale, Arizona. Charles Keating's alleged wheeling and dealing dragged five U.S. senators into the scandal, the so-called Keating Five. One of them, California Democrat Alan Cranston, could be disciplined by the full Senate. Carl Brown for CBS News, Los Angeles.
An estimated 30,000 anti-communists fought police in the streets of Belgrade today. One report says a policeman was killed. It was the worst political violence in Yugoslavia's capital in more than 20 years. Los Angeles prosecutors want a fast trial for the police officers videotaped in the process of attacking a helpless suspect. Bob Scott reports from CBS radio station KNX.
A new state law passed just last year will allow the Los Angeles County District Attorney to bypass what could be a lengthy preliminary hearing and bring the case instead to the grand jury. Los Angeles Police Chief Darrell Gates has asked the DA to press criminal charges against three of his officers for beating and kicking 25-year-old Rodney King after he was stopped for a traffic violation. The head of a team of doctors examining King, Dr. Edmund Chen, says the preliminary examination shows a long list of injuries, some permanent.
One side of his brain was swollen as compared to the other side. The swelling of the brain caused him to have mental confusion. In fact, that would explain for him, I think one newspaper said that he thought his hands were handcuffed or tied, when in fact they weren't. And that's because he was mentally confused. His brain was damaged.
Dr. Chen says a chemical analysis of King's blood several days after the beating indicates to him that King was near death after the attack. Bob Scott for CBS News, Los Angeles.
Riot police rushed to the Westwood Village section of Los Angeles last night to put down an outbreak of looting and vandalism near the UCLA campus. The trouble reportedly began when a local theater turned away a crowd that wanted to get into a sold-out showing of the movie New Jack City, a film about drug dealing in New York. General Foods is recalling some of its Jell-O chocolate products after finding metal fragments from a defective machine part in a number of packages. The recall involves certain boxes of sugar-sweetened Jell-O cook-and-serve pudding and pie filling and Jell-O instant pudding and pie filling. The company says fewer than 1,000 packages were affected. It's 7:10.